Thanks, Paul. My name's Chris. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, everyone. I'm grateful to be sober. Great to be at this meeting, and it's an honor to be asked to speak in this meeting and to sit in this chair. So, thanks. I do have experience with these steps as they're laid out in the book with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor from Orleans Men's Big Book. We meet at 7:30 at the Federated Church in Orleans on the way to Nauset Beach. I'm still making amends. I work 10, 11, and 12 daily to the best of my willingness, and I try to remain teachable. I'm certain that if I think I know it all, I'm screwed. So, and I sit here today comfortable in my own skin, not thinking about drinking, not thinking about not drinking. So I originally went through this process with my sponsor, who took me through the previous parts of the book. His name is Fran R., a member of the Orleans Men's Big Book, and I'm grateful that this step comes where it does, you know. If this was the first thing that we were writing about, I probably wouldn't have done it, for one. But by the time we got to this part of the step, I'd already had that practice of, making the demonstration of, well, for one, making a schedule, telling my sponsor what that schedule was, and then sticking to that schedule. The phone's off, the TV's off, the cat has been fed, there are no distractions. I say the third step prayer and ask God to help me write as He would have me write, not as I would write. And whatever comes goes on the paper. And it was during, I think, the beginning of the turnarounds, or somewhere in the cause and effect and the resentments that I had a, I opened my notebooks after, for a session, and I see a resentment on the paper. It's a name that I know. It's a thing that I know happened, but I didn't have any recall of writing it down. And I felt some tangible evidence for the first time that God was working through me and guiding my pen. So I, continued to build on that. And by the time it came to write about 4C, that connection was growing stronger. The instruction for me again was on schedule, no distractions, third step prayer. And here I am making a list again. This time, it's around sex conduct. Now, the list that I came up with was incredibly long, but thoroughness mattered, honesty mattered, and I remember Fran saying to me that, as in resentments, real or fancied. He had seen me at a bunch of open AA meetings, and when I first came in, I know I had a wandering eye. And to be honest with the group, there was a woman there that, she looked like the last Susie that I was with, and I was having fantasies about this Susie, and occupying a lot of time in my head. And he kind of, he suggested that, even if I had never had any contact with a person or a woman, that if it was occupying a lot of my thinking, that should go on the paper. That being said, if all the fantasy were made it to paper, I'd still be writing. So there's a time to move forward in the process. And the list was the list. It's my list, and I subjected it, each name on that list, to these questions that we read on page 69. Whom had we hurt? That's a question. I'm sorry. Where had we been selfish? Where had we been dishonest? Where had we been inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse suspicion? Same question for bitterness. Same question for jealousy. Where had we been at fault? What should we have done instead? And it even goes on to ask, was it selfish or not? Most certainly, each and every one of these was selfish. And at that time, I did this as thoroughly and honestly as I could. And I actually answered those questions of, had we unjustifiably aroused jealousy? I said, yes. Suspicion, yes. Bitterness, yes. That's how I answered those when I went through this with my sponsor the first time. The way that I do this today is different. And I do this today. To me, this is just like how the resentment part of the four step teaches us how to do the 10 step. And the fear part of the step teaches me in real time to trust and rely on God and not myself, that in the end of this reading, where it says to sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal for guidance in each questionable situation. That could happen tonight, you know? I could have happened at the supermarket earlier today. We ask for sanity, for strength, to do the right thing. So to me, this isn't like a one and done. And as it proved to me, this isn't about sex. I'm going to use Bobby's line, I think, talking about the second step, that it's about drinking, but it's not about drinking, but it's about drinking. To me, this is about sex, but it's not about sex, but it's about sex. To me, this is about selfishness and self-seeking. It talks about conduct and motives. My motives are selfish, guaranteed. So my conduct is my self-seeking, my behavior. It mentions right before the cause and effect in earlier part of step four that, where is it? Being convinced that self manifested in various ways had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. And they give us three examples. Number one offender being resentment, the next being fear, and the other one being sex conduct. To me, this was the broadest look at my selfishness and my self-seeking, was looking at this sex inventory. I got into a relationship, well, I should say, when I finished this work with my sponsor, I wrote a Dear God letter, like an ideal. And I did not live up to that ideal. I got into a relationship with a woman in recovery. And over the course of about 3 years, I got in danger, and I had no idea that I was in danger. No idea how much danger I was in. I continued to be selfish and self-seeking. A lot of people were harmed, and it could have been a lot worse. How it came about that I did some further inventory work in the form of a 10-step, which was resentment, fears, and sex conduct, that I really saw how much danger I was in, again, without even knowing. During the course of that relationship, as I suggest to myself to do in the current relationship that I'm in, is that if and when there's an event, such as, say, a sickness, whether it be physical, mental, a pregnancy, an abortion, a child being born, a big job change, something, you know, out of the everyday in a relationship. These were the things that in my 10th step, I was kind of glossing over, which is self-will allowed me to do that. And again, didn't know that I was in dangerous territory. Doing the work again, just like it's laid out in this book, I was much more thorough. The sponsor that I was using at that time had been hearing my day-to-day conversations on the telephone, in person, over dinner, after the meeting, and he kind of knew which questions to ask. And following the same process, a lot more was revealed. Nothing had changed in my conduct at all. I was careless, I was inconsiderate, I was dishonest, and I was selfish. And the collateral damage, you know, the blast zone, if you will, a lot of people were hurt, you know. There was the young lady, there was her family, there was her friends, there's my family who got to know this person, there's my friends, and so on and so on. Needless to say, a lot of ink was soaked up into the paper in that inventory, and it was eye-opening, it was shocking, and honestly, it was embarrassing to admit. And this isn't about, like, freaky sex stuff. This is about my behavior. Again, my selfishness and my self-seeking. So in reading that fifth step, before reading that fifth step, I sat down and I wrote another ideal. And this time it wasn't Dear God, it was Dear Chris. And I opened my notebook and I wrote Dear Chris. And I signed it lovingly and respectfully, Chris. It was a letter to myself. I shut the notebook and I cried. And I had no idea what I wrote. I went to my sponsor's house that night. He asked me if I had finished my writing. I said, I thought that I had. How did it go? I said, I don't know. And when it came time to read that fifth step to him, I read that ideal. And I couldn't get more than a couple sentences at a time without crying. I didn't bring it with me. I apologize. It's personal, though I have shared it at my Orleans Men's Big Book meeting once. And that truly, God willing, a day at a time, sometimes a moment at a time, has changed my relationship with the world and its people, you know, with your daughters, with your girlfriends, with your sisters. I treat people as I would want somebody to treat my mom or my sister, you know, without perfection. So I have more work to do. Another part of that is that I did not get into another relationship for quite a while after that. I prayed for the right ideal. I let God be the judge of my sex conduct, and I believe that he put somebody into my life when I was ready for that. Again, into where it says, to sum up about sex, let's see, if sex is troublesome, we throw ourselves harder into helping others. I'm working with a lot of guys today, you know, so that's truly where, you know, my reprieve for myself is to turn my will over as often as I can to God and to be of maximum service to my fellows. And again, I do that without perfection. But this is my experience with the step. It's changed my life. Once again, I found out that this is about sex, but it's not about sex. But it's about sex, you know? Thanks.